All right, everyone, welcome to NerdWide.com's weekly podcast, Hero Cravings. Now, this is a special episode, Hero Cravings Special Number One, where we do ratings and reviews, a discussion of ratings and reviews for all of the Marvel and DC TV episodes that we typically cover. I'm Chris Rivers, and we also have, of course, Mr. Tyler Haynes.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back.
That was a very seductive voice there. it's going to be a little bit of a short episode, because I don't think that we're going to dig too deep. We don't have a lot of numbers for some of these, especially shows like S.H.I.E.L.D. Don't forget...
Well, that and we're what, halfway into all of our seasons as well, you know?
Yeah, it's... And the CW shows even have, what, 9 episodes that they've aired? So, we got a ways to go on the back half. Now, one thing that we ask, don't forget to share, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes. I recap Blacklist and Blindspot for purefandom.com. Blindspot just went on hiatus for about 3 weeks. So please check out those recaps and comment accordingly. Now, Tyler?
Yes, sir.
This would be a good spot for you to kind of tease a couple of more things that we have coming up.
Ooh, so
among our own podcasts.
So what we've got in the works, as well as our normal Hero Cravings episode, which in turn, I think we've discussed, you know, even breaking them down further, because Legion will be starting soon. We might just do Hero Cravings Marvel and Hero Cravings DC, just to kind of, you know, break down the episodes a little bit more instead of listening to like a 2 hour, you know, 2.5 hour episode. So that's in the works. We've also have OWL, which is the Overwatch League Championships, playoffs, tournaments, all of that news. I know our buddy JT, who works with us at NerdWide, plans to do that. We should have our first episode out soon. And then there's also talks about JT and his brother discussing the CWL Championships, which of course is Call of Duty World Leagues, which has been taking off year after year after year. And there's expected to be, you know, a bigger year this year, which I'm really excited about because I love Call of Duty. And then the last show we've got potentially down in the works in the pipeline is, I know me, you, Chris, and JT are all going to do a bi-weekly podcast where us three bring a topic each and we just sit down, you know, kick the can, sit here and drink beer and just talk and just have fun. So I know that's for sure what we have in the works right now.
I'm sorry, all I heard was drink beer.
That's all you need to hear.
that's true, yes. All right, so let's get to the discussion on these ratings. I did not realize when I started looking into this that how far out in front of other shows some of these shows are. But before we dive in, I want to kind of give everyone a quick overview of how this ratings thing works. So a full ratings point in the 18 to 49 demographic is representative of 1% of all 18 to 49 year olds in the entire country. So if you get a 1.0, that means 1% of all 18 to 49 year olds in the country we're watching.
Well, that's a weird like age bracket to me. Why wouldn't they include like teenagers, like younger, like maybe 13 to 49? I don't know if there's like a big gap or, you know, how that works.
It's somewhat of an outdated thing in my opinion, because the way that they typically look at it, 18 to 49, that's where the strongest economical what's the best word to describe that? That's where all the money is, basically.
Yeah,
you know, people are out there making their money at that age. But now with so many other kids, say 15 to 18, out there working as well, they might want to start moving that needle a little bit younger, like you were saying.
I just feel like that would be, you'd have more viewership and ratings.
Yeah, and, you know, the advertisers have a lot of say in that, I guess.
Well, of course they do, because they're paying for it.
Yeah. That whole thing would probably go away if we ever had a system similar to what they have in the UK, where they have a commercial at the start of the show. I think they have one or two in the very middle, and then not another one till the end.
Walking That'd Dead be great. Would benefit a lot from that one.
Also, on this discussion, Friday shows typically are expected by networks to see about a 30% drop over ratings on other nights. So if a show is on Friday night and a couple of ours are, yeah, the ratings might be a little bit lower, but networks expect that, so it doesn't mean that the show is necessarily in trouble. Mm. Also, the CW is expected, as a network, to draw lower numbers than the other four. They just don't pull the same audience. So, again, their shows, if the ratings look low, it doesn't mean that they're in trouble on the CW. It just means that's expected for that network.
I wonder how much of like the ratings and reviews they get off of like Netflix. Like, you know, when the season ends and they put them directly on Netflix, I wonder if like those numbers and those viewerships actually go into if they're going to renew a season or not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it may. The other thing with CW that, 'cause
you know, they have that Netflix deal.
They do, but, you know, one thing that I don't think they factor in, and I'm sure CW has the numbers in-house, how many people watch on the app?
Oh, that's true.
Because the app is free, and if you miss the show, you can just pull it up while you're on the go and watch it. I don't think that factors into these numbers at all, but I'm sure the CW, looking at them in-house, you know, if they add those in, it makes their shows look even better. And one final point before we get into the actual numbers. Shows owned by studios who also own the networks get a little more leeway because the studio knows that they are going to benefit from syndication dollars on the back end. So a perfect example would be Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Its parent company that produces it is Disney, and Disney owns ABC. So its ratings might tick a little. Not only is it on Friday night, where they expect it to get a little bit lower ratings, but its ratings could tick even lower, and ABC might still stick with it because they have those syndication dollars waiting once the show does leave the air, or in some cases, before the shows even quit making first-run episodes. It's all about the money.
All about the money, money.
I got him started. I'm sorry, folks. I have no control over that. All right, so let's get into these numbers, because I know Tyler's kind of anxious to get into these discussions.
I like it.
So, now with the Arrowverse shows, when I was looking at these numbers, what I did is I pulled out the crossover, and I think a lot of people are going to see why once we get into talking about these. Supergirl, without the crossover, does a live rating of 0.5 in that 18 to 49 demo. And 1.84 million viewers.
Right.
The crossover did 0.9.
Huh.
2.71 million. So it added almost, it almost doubled Supergirl's rating. And it added about 870,000 viewers.
Gotcha.
Over the typical Supergirl show.
Huh.
And the good news for this show, and for most of these shows, is they have their audience. It's not, some shows when they're on network TV, they kind of have an audience that fluctuates. you know, 1 week they may do a 0.4, and then the next week it's a 0.8, and the next week it's down to a 0.6, and then it's all over the place. These shows are fairly steady.
And we've seen that with our episodes that we discuss, because, like, we don't have much of a drop-off or much of a gain, unless, like, it was the before we got the DVR numbers for October. Like, we had some shows that were on Halloween night, and we saw a dip there, but, like, they weren't that much.
No, they weren't. It wasn't a bad dip on Halloween. It wasn't an awful dip for Arrow on Thanksgiving. The outlier really was the crossover for those Arrowverse shows. Mm-hmm. And the only one, we talked a bit before we started recording, the only one that we did not see a huge difference in was The Flash. The Flash, for instance, its live numbers drew a 0.9 on average this season. When you look at the crossover episode for it, it was a 1.0. So there wasn't a lot of difference there. Even on the DVR side, The Flash had a 0.7 DVR average, 0.74, and the crossover was 0.7. So The Flash really didn't get a big bump at all from the crossover. What it looks like more than anything is The Flash viewers, which are greater than the viewers for the other three shows in the Arrowverse, kind of moved over and watched all the other shows during the crossover and boosted their ratings.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that besides, you know, the fun it is for the CW shows and for the viewers at home, do you think they do the crossover to see this gap or see where their audiences are and where the audiences are coming from? Or do you even think they think about that in the long run?
I think they think about it after the fact. I think that the crossover is strictly, I hope it's strictly a creative decision.
Right.
Something fun to do for the fans and something fun to do for the writers. And I think the actors seem to enjoy it too. But it does give them an idea when they look at these sorts of numbers about where the viewers are and where they're going. And now the thing they have to think about is, okay, why is The Flash out in front and the other shows are all kind of grouped together? And how do you get those viewers to tune into the other shows every week? Because you can't keep having, you know, you can do a crossover a year, but you don't want to do a crossover, you know, three or four crossovers a year just to try and boost ratings, because then the crossovers don't mean anything. I would love to be a fly on the wall at CW when they're talking about this stuff.
I wonder whose decision that is. And that's in the future. I would hope we could get in contact with some of these people and actually discuss it. You'd be like, whose decision is this? You know, what do these numbers mean for y'all? Like, when, how low does it have to be, you know, to like, all right, we need to do something different to boost these numbers up, you know?
Right.
That'd be a fun conversation. Sit down with
would be.
Berlanti and them.
Maybe we can make that happen.
I know they're listening.
Now, Big Brother's listening. Right. So the Arrowverse shows were really, like I said, they were kind of tightly packed. I mean, when you look at the overall numbers, the live numbers and DVR, Arrow, 0.92 in the 18 to 49. Supergirl, 0.94. Legends, 0.95. The Flash, 1.64.
Jeez, I mean, just look at the bump. But,
and
I mean, we even just said earlier, you know, before we started recording, that Supergirl, Legends, and Arrow have their audiences.
Yeah, they've got loyal audiences that tune in every week.
But the Flash, where is their spike coming from? And like you said earlier, where are they going? Why aren't they staying to watch the rest of the Arrowverse shows? And right. Another factor with this, you know, in the next coming weeks is Black Lightning. I wonder where the numbers are going to go for that as well.
Well, and the one show that you really want to ask the questions about, I think, and look, we've talked about this show a lot. We both love it. Legends of Tomorrow. It follows The Flash, and yet it loses that extra audience.
Man, that's... I wish it wouldn't. It's one of, like, out of the Arrowverse shows, I'd probably say, I want to say, like, Legends is probably my favorite. Like, I mean, it's a very hard competitor with The Flash, but I do love the Legends.
Well, and when you look at the raw numbers in terms of millions of viewers, there's a little more separation.
Mm-hmm.
Arrow's at 2.35 million per episode. Again, these are minus the crossovers because that threw it out of whack so much.
Right.
Legends is 2.56 million. Supergirl's 2.99. The Flash, 4.23 million a week.
That's an extra 2 million. I mean, 2 million people.
Yeah. So think about this. On average, 4.23 million people tune in every week to watch The Flash. But then... for Legends, right after it, 2.56. So that's over 1.5 million people that just changed the channel or shut the TV off.
See, I don't know. I just want to know where the people are going and why they're turning their TV off.
It's a strange thing. I don't know if it's...
And I would have liked to,
just,
you know, if we were doing this longer, you know, if we start at the very beginning of the Arrowverse to see how the numbers go per season, you know, because is it the storyline that people are interested in, or is it just the show in general? You know, some people just don't like, I like Supergirl. It's not my favorite one, but I don't know.
Well, now that Alex and Maggie are split, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Absolutely. I'm all about it now.
But, you know, one other thing people have to keep in mind is what competition these shows are up against. Now, on Tuesdays, there's not a lot of competition. I mean, you have programming on other networks, of course, and CBS kills it on Tuesdays, I know, with NCIS and NCIS New Orleans.
NBC kills it with This Is Us, Chris. Come on. We all know this.
Well, yeah. But, you know, for The Flash to still pull those numbers and for those viewers, and maybe, now, I'll admit it, I'm not a regular This Is Us viewer. What time slot is that?
It's the Legend slot.
So there you go. You might have a bunch of people tuning in to watch Flash and then flipping over to watch This Is Us. Because This Is Us is also a show that's going to be water cooler conversation. When you get to work the next day, people are going to be talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's possible that's what's happening. And then some of those people are remembering in the next 7 days to watch Legends on their DVR or on demand. And again, like we said earlier, we don't know what kind of numbers it gets on the CW app.
Yeah.
So maybe it's making up some of that audience. Who knows? But Supergirl, its numbers are going to be interesting to watch, as well as Arrow in the second half. Because both of those shows have gone head-to-head with football this first half of the season. Supergirl on Monday nights and Arrow on Thursday nights. So will that change at all?
And it's maybe. Especially, I wonder what Legends numbers are going to look like with Black Lightning taking over their time slot and them not even coming back until February.
Yeah, when they do come back, they're coming back in Supergirl's time slot.
Right.
And it's going to go on hiatus for a few weeks.
In terms of viewers and ratings and everything, it looks like Flash is... So this is just for our CW shows for right now. It looks like Flash is at the top with 4.23 million. And then you've got Supergirl. Really? Supergirl in second? At 2.99. And then you've got Legends and then 2.56 and Arrow at 2.35.
And it's kind of ironic that it's dubbed the Arrowverse, and yet that show is behind the others in numbers.
Right.
But Supergirl, I think, look, it, I think it would have been successful, this successful on CW anyway, but it did have its first season on CBS, which may have helped it, because some of the people that were exposed to it on that channel may have followed it over.
Yeah, for trailers and stuff like that. So we've got our four other shows. What did those look like as far as ratings and reviews?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be the one that means the least numbers-wise right now, because we're only technically, because the first two episodes aired together, we're only technically 4 weeks into the season.
Hmm.
So it's kind of hard to put a lot into the numbers.
Because I'm not going
to
have, because I mean, with like Gotham and, you know, Inhumans had what, 13 episodes, didn't they?
Inhumans was 8.
8, okay. And Gifted's 13.
Gotham and, yeah, Gifted's at like 11, I think, right now.
So they're on average already, the lowest one, 4 episodes behind everything, so their numbers aren't going to pull what everybody else did.
No, but, and also remember, S.H.I.E.L.D. is a Friday night show.
Right.
So it's going to have a little bit of a lower dip anyway, but right now, their live numbers are 0.58 in the demographic and 2.18 million viewers. And then in the DVR, they actually, they do quite well. It's 0.65 on the DVR and 1.7 million in viewers.
Hmm.
So all told, they're drawing a 1.23 with 3.88 million.
Jeez, and that's, which, of course, you know, if you look at all the shows, that already beats out Supergirl and puts it right underneath The Flash.
Yeah. I mean, they,
it's only 4 episodes in, Chris, on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And to me, having it on a Friday is the equivalent of that show still airing on, say, a Tuesday on the CW.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of, in my opinion, it kind of offsets it a little bit. So if that's what that would draw on the CW network, yeah, they'd be right there with mm-hmm. Flash and killing it. Now, will the show get canceled? I know there's been some whispers that maybe it's not going to be able to maintain this level. Could it get canceled? I think they'd be smart before they cancel it.
To talk to us first. Absolutely.
I actually agree with that. Yes. But no, before they make the decision to just outright cancel it, if I were ABC, Disney, already having that agreement in place for your Marvel franchises with Netflix, I would just consider moving it there and let them make it a little bit darker.
Right.
Let them make it a show in the same vein as Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and the successful shows there, and let them continue. The cast would probably enjoy it because you're only going to do about 13 episodes a season then.
Yeah. Instead of, well, we got 22 episodes, like, is usually what they do.
Yeah. So.
All right. So I'm curious about the, well, let's go with the Inhumans, because, you know, we did the 8 episodes of it, and I'm curious to see what their numbers are compared to, you know, like we were just talking about the first 4 episodes of this season of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. Yeah. Same time slot. Inhumans actually, it pretty much has, in some ways, outperformed S.H.I.E.L.D. So the live numbers were a lot better for Inhumans. They drew a 0.63 in that time slot compared to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 0.58. They drew 2.57 million live viewers compared to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 2.18. So the live numbers, Inhumans was the better performer. On the DVR side, they didn't do as well. They drew a 0.55 to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 0.65. And in terms of viewership, 1.58 million to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 1.7 million.
Hmm.
So they slagged off a little bit there. it makes for the overall numbers look a little strange, because for S.H.I.E.L.D., as we said before, a 1.23, in humans was a 1.18. But in terms of raw viewers, 3.88 million for S.H.I.E.L.D., 4.15 million for Inhumans. So they actually drew more raw viewers, but the 18 to 49 demo was a little bit lower.
Right. Well, and that's also with Inhumans having 8 episodes, and we're only in 4 episodes with Agents. So I'm curious, you know, we might do at the end of all of our shows this year, or next year technically now, we might revisit this topic and these numbers again to see how much has changed, you know.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, it's the one thing that I think makes more sense for the look, this is just me throwing out a theory here, but Inhumans took place earlier in the year,
mm-hmm.
on Friday night, when the 18 to 49 crowd is typically going to be out doing things.
Eating dinner or doing familial
Agents,
things.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. debuted in December on Friday nights. So the 18 to 49 crowd ticked up just a little bit. Maybe that's because of weather. People aren't going to be out as much doing stuff on Friday night. They're going to maybe stay in a little bit more. I don't know. It's just a theory,
yeah,
of why that number bumped up for Agents and not in humans. But I think it's, I wouldn't be surprised if Inhumans is renewed.
I hope so. And I mean, like we said earlier, when the show ended, it didn't start off on the right foot. In fact, it started probably off on the left. But it ended really good.
It gradually built steam. Every episode, I found myself thinking, I like this show more and more.
Yes.
But you're right. I think the worst decision they could have made was debuting that show on IMAX screens.
Yeah, they were wanting a bigger. They're trying to get in a big crowd, but I just don't feel like they did it right at all.
And I wonder if what we'll see, if it does get renewed, will they get a full season, or will they be basically the new Agent Carter?
Just little filler episodes.
Yeah, just do like 8 episode seasons, drop it in when you need to give S.H.I.E.L.D. a break, or push them off like they did this year till December, and let it provide you content in that small chunk, and just tell a quick story with it.
Because, I mean, you could easily cross over, which I'm curious if they're still going to on S.H.I.E.L.D., you could easily cross over the Inhumans and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show and do their own crossover series episodes, or, you know, or permanent cast members or whatever. Because, you know, with the Inhumans, they left it, we're sitting in the middle of a field and we're relocating all of the Inhumans from the moon.
Right.
That can't be, I don't feel like that could be covered up, especially for our spies in S.H.I.E.L.D. So I really feel like they should be able to be like, oh, what is this? Oh, we've got people here? Well, let's try and get in on this, you know?
Well, as far as S.H.I.E.L.D. knowing that they're there, I think it makes sense right now that they're not paying attention to
that. Oh, yeah, no, they're in the future at this point.
They're, yeah. But we do know that the government tracks mutants.
Right.
We do know that they have a way of identifying when some new anomalies show up in an area. So you're going to tell me that the government doesn't know that this group of people with power suddenly showed up?
Yeah, they're not tracking what happened in Hawaii at all.
And it's not like it's 5 people.
Yeah, it's
an entire society.
Right. So,
but
speaking of people with powers, Chris. Now,
uh-huh.
So gifted, our numbers and everything, what do they look like as far as, because this is a brand new show for Fox, what do we see in the numbers for them?
So, once again, this is a show that has tough competition. It's on Monday nights in the fall in America. And I think you said before we got started, the top five or six rated shows from 2017 were all football. So anytime a show is going up against that, you kind of have to hedge the numbers a little bit just to understand that it's not representative like it would be if it didn't have that competition. The Gifted's live numbers in the 18 to 49 is 1.04. Now, for all the shows we cover, that's the highest.
Mm.
It's raw viewership on live numbers, 3.36 million.
That's more than all of our CW shows combined, isn't it? Let me look here.
Not combined, but you know, the interesting thing about it is when you look at that 3.36 million live number for just the raw viewer total, it outdoes the overall viewer numbers for Supergirl, Legends, Arrow. It moves right by all those, and that's its live numbers.
Right. Man.
Now, it's DVR numbers. They draw a 0.99 on DVR. That's more than any show we cover.
Mm-hmm.
By the next closest is The Flash at 0.74. It's raw viewers on DVR, 2.65 million. The next closest for the shows we cover is The Flash at 1.82.
God bless.
So the Gifted's numbers so far, overall, a 2.03. rating.
That's not.
And 6.01 million viewers.
So, needless to say, episode. That's the out of all of our shows, that's the most watched one.
Oh, period. Yeah. Easy.
Wow.
Yeah.
6 million people. And this is only a 13 season episode. Like, we're not even at the finales or anything like that.
No, but we are getting close, and it's going to be interesting to see when it comes back. Because let's see, we'll have, I think, two or three more. I think we have three more airings of Gifted.
Huh.
So those final three, it's going to be interesting to see how those numbers change.
Hmm.
Usually when fans know that a finale is coming, they tend to tune back in.
Yeah. I am curious you know, of course, when we get to that episode for Hero Cravings, I am curious to see what those numbers are going to be. And I'll probably refer to this episode, you know, talking about the things. Huh.
Yeah. Well, and of course, all we'll have at that moment will be the overnights, the live numbers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they maintain that 1.04 and that 3.36 for the live. If they better it. Let's just say this. The Gifted is coming back. I'm confident.
Yeah. I mean, I would easily put, and I don't bet money or anything, but I would easily put $100 on that they'll definitely be renewed. Because, you know, we haven't heard for sure if they are or not. But, I mean, look at these numbers. And granted, it's on Fox, but it's got to be making money for them, especially with these numbers.
Well, and keep in mind, too, even if Fox was kind of on the fence about it, we did the episode, has it been a week since we did the discussion of the Disney?
Oh, 2 weeks.
Purchase. If that goes through, Disney's going to want to potentially have this show. I mean, this is another Marvel property. So Fox may just leave it in place and let Disney make the call.
Where forever get?
Which...
It's a lot of stuff could go into that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Fox, our last show we've got here, and it's also on Fox, is Gotham, which I personally love, and I'm not a Batman fan. You'll find nothing Batman in my man cave right now. Actually, that's not true.
No.
That's not true. Don't listen to me. Continue.
You do have a lot of Tony Stark and Iron Man, though.
Yeah, I just added something else, too, I got for Christmas. But I digress. All right, Chris, what are Gotham's
Iron
numbers?
Man, an Iron Man thong doesn't count, Tyler.
I don't have an Iron Man phone. I wish I did.
Thong.
Oh, thong. Oh, that comes in and out of the room. Anyways, Gotham.
Right. So Gotham.
Oh, man.
Gotham airs, Tyler, on which night?
Thursday nights. Right before Arrow at 7 o'clock.
And Thursday nights also has, as we've talked about already,
football. American football.
But it still has done really, really well. It's a 0.89 live rating, which only puts it behind The Gifted and The Flash.
Right.
And it's barely behind The Flash. 2.78 million live viewers, which is second to The Gifted. The DVR numbers look pretty strong, too. 0.65 on the rating for DVR viewership, which ties it with S.H.I.E.L.D. in third place behind The Gifted and The Flash. 1.72 million viewers, which has it third place behind The Gifted and The Flash. And then overall, its numbers have come in at a 1.54. Say it with me. Third place behind The Gifted and The Flash. And 4.5 million viewers, second only to The Gifted.
Oh. Hmm.
I understand some people are kind of wondering if this show's going to be around past this year. I don't see how it's not.
Right.
I mean, we'll see what the rest of the season holds, but I think once word gets out for people that did stay away from the first part of this season that, oh, by the way, Jerome's back.
Which he should be back when they come back in.
Yeah. And
we also have Ivy. She'll be coming back as well. As a new actress, of course, but
the new Ivy
for the third time.
And there's also news that's broken that we're going to see the Scarecrow again this season. I only see the ratings ticking up.
Yeah, I don't understand why they'd go down. And we still have all the jazz with Ra's al Ghul and Barbara, and that whole little Transference, right. Whatever they did.
Yeah.
So let's see. We've got, obviously, The Gifted is number one in ratings and viewership. And then, that blows my mind. Because if I'm not looking at numbers, if you wouldn't have looked and known all these numbers, what show would you have put as being number one, Chris?
If we hadn't talked ratings before today.
Yep. It's a hard one. That's hard.
It is. I can tell you it wouldn't have been any of the CW shows just because of the perception probably that a lot of people have of the network, that it's more of teen programming. So I think some older people tend to stay away.
Right.
I would have probably assumed Gotham just because S.H.I.E.L.D. just came back. But it would have been S.H.I.E.L.D. or it would have been Gotham.
Well,
I wouldn't have thought The Gifted was
that
strong.
With me too, like I would have put a Gifted maybe at like three or four, you know?
Yeah.
But like I'm right there with you. I probably would put Gotham pretty high up there, and I would put Gotham and Flash, which I mean it's kind of, sort of, but I don't, The Gifted at number one, and then, let's see, what's our last place we've got, I believe, is...
It's Arrow.
Oh.
Out of the eight shows, Jeez. Arrow is eighth.
That's rough.
And, you know, I probably would have thought that it would have, I definitely would have thought it would have been higher than that if we had not been talking ratings.
Yeah.
I would have dropped Inhumans probably down to six or seven just based off of the negative buzz when it started.
Right.
I would have had probably, I would have probably only had maybe Legends below it if we had not been talking numbers.
Oh man, ratings and reviews are weird.
They are, but it's kind of interesting to see what people are actually watching, you know, versus because when you're a fan of something like we are of these shows, you just I think there's a point at which it's totally normal for as a human being to think, I love this. A lot of other people must love this. And sometimes you look at ratings of shows like this and you think, no, apparently not.
Well, I mean, these aren't small numbers by any means, but I mean, they are small numbers to shows as far as audiences and stuff like that. And that's just, it's still crazy to me, Chris, that we watch all these shows and we're watching shows that 2 million other people minimum are watching as well.
Right.
And that's just crazy to me. And why all 2 million of these people minimum are not listening to this wonderful Hero Cravings episodes, I've got no idea. But that's
You know
crazy.
what? We need to figure that out. We need to figure out why we don't have 2 million subscribers just right off the bat.
Yeah, because you know, nothing in life is instant gratification, as much as I like to think it is.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Chris.
One more thing too, to put into context some of these numbers. One of the most popular new shows on television is Young Sheldon on CBS. I don't know if you've watched
I
it yet.
haven't seen it yet.
So it had a new episode. I think it was this past Thursday. Is that right? Maybe.
Maybe I don't watch it. I only watch reruns of those shows.
No, it would have been the Thursday before Christmas. It drew in the live numbers a 1.8 and 11.32 million viewers.
Jeez.
So that gives you an idea of what the big network shows that are just hitting it on ratings like that and The Big Bang Theory. That gives you an idea of what these numbers, it kind of puts them into
Right,
context.
puts them a little bit in perspective, if you will. Huh. I'd love for our shows to hit numbers like that, but I mean, The Gifted's almost, I mean, it's more than half of that so far, you know,
Right.
which is great, if you ask me. Because, you know, all of these shows are just for niche people. It's not for everyone so much as like a Young Sheldon would be, you know? Because, like, that's more of a
Right.
comedy. This is like a niche superhero shows.
Yeah.
Which is, that makes me feel a lot better. If they're pulling, like, you know, the last episode they had, and then The Gifted were at 6.01 million. I feel pretty confident about that. That makes me feel good.
Oh,
Nerds
absolutely.
rule the world.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know how big of a TV viewer you were, like, 15 years ago.
I was like 6 years
But
old.
no, you weren't six. But 15 years ago, if you had told people, oh, by the way, you're going to have probably close to a dozen superhero shows on network TV in the future, and they're going to be drawing millions of viewers every week, a lot of people probably would have called you crazy.
Yeah, I guess that puts that in perspective as well. 'Cause superhero shows are, I don't mean like even if you put the movies, like is you know you started with Iron Man pretty much with the MCU, and that wasn't even 10 years. I guess it would be 10 years ago because I think it came out in 2007. We're in 17 now.
Well, and that's just the network
All
stuff.
right.
Then factor in Netflix and Hulu and FX and all these others. It's
What a time to be alive, Chris.
Tell me about it.
I'm just glad to be back next week with our actual shows. Then
It will be nice.
well,
It'll
I
be
guess in
nice.
2 weeks everything will start picking back up again, but we'll have The Gifted and I believe Shield all back next week.
I believe so, and then we're gonna have the next, no, I think it's 2 weeks after that, when we'll have the Gifted finale.
Oh, we got Black and Lightning coming up.
Black Lightning debuts, I think, the very next night. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm telling you, I'm getting like extremely amped up for Black Lightning. That show just looks good. Like reading the synopsis of it just looks so, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's going to be a lot of fun because it's, from what I understand right now, it's not in the Arrowverse. Now that could change.
Yeah, I did see an interview where they said that they decided not to put it in the Arrowverse right away.
Well, I mean, same thing they did with Supergirl, you know.
It's possible. I've stayed away. I haven't read the synopsis. I haven't looked at anything from the comics.
I know nothing. So when I think Black Lightning, though, I think back to the old TV show that Cartoon Network or WB used to have of Static Shock, which is kind of the same character. But like I just read like, so it starts out with, like, him in the past, and then it comes to modern day with his new family and children and stuff like that. That's about all I know, and he's trying to clean up his city. So
gotcha.
But like he's a principal at a high school. I mean, how awesome would it be if your high school principal was also a superhero?
Not very awesome if you're a troublemaker.
You know, I like to lay low, Chris. All right, does that have anything else for us this week?
No, I think it's time to roll out of here.
Excellent. I'm going to walk instead of roll, but that's just my personal preference. Hello? Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't even laugh at my joke.
Sorry. I was busy hacking up a lung.
Oh, you'll live. You got two of them.
That's true. So, that is going to be it this week for us. Make sure to review us on iTunes. And make sure you share this around on all your favorite social media platforms. You can follow NerdWide on Twitter at @nerd_wide. You can follow me at MavTN7, and you can follow Mr. Haynes and his Iron Man thong at Ty_Haynes. And let us know if you do follow us, because I've had some people follow me recently. I don't know if they're subscribers. So if you follow me on Twitter, just shoot me a quick tweet, loop me in, and let me know that you're a listener of the show. And I think Tyler wants you to do the same for him.
Yeah, I like people. I'm not weird on Twitter.
Do you like people or dogs more?
Okay, let's just say this, Chris. If there was a party and there was one dog and 30 people, I'd go straight to the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's your answer.
It's good to know. All right, so I am Chris Rivers, and Tyler, you got anything you want to say before you go?
That's it. We'll see you all guys next week.
Adios.